Okay, guys, stop beating up Space Monkey and let's get serious. We need a podcast. Otherwise, Adam Curry will already have won.
Don't you mean terrorists?
In my legal opinion, there's no difference.
So let's just look through the suggestion box here. Who put these used Kleenexes in here?
Not me!
Not me.
Fine, we'll just make fun of lefties then and that stupid filibuster they got. Maybe Muslims.
Is this the best topic we can come up with? Filibusters? I can't believe how lame a theme that is. I mean, we've been gone for how long, and people are just dying, waiting for what we're going to come up with this season. Come on, guys. There's so much going on in the world today that's just ripe for making fun of. Freedom of expression, face-to-face with totalitarianism, Iran's working on nuclear weapons while diplomats wring their hands in worry, China's industrial base is on the rise while...
All those voting for cloture on the subject of the topic, say aye.
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 It's unanimous. Wait, did you vote aye, Lair?
Well, I kind of need to go to the bathroom.
Use the one outside.
There isn't one outside. Wadded up newspaper.
It's the IMAO podcast. Yeehaw! Starring Frank J.
I'm always trying to find a new angle to spread evil among the world.
Sarah Kay. That's me.
I'm a liar and going straight to hell.
Harvey.
Making hippies cry since 1966.
Right wing duck.
I have decided to convert to the religion of peace.
Space Monkey.
Seems kind of funny, queer, not funny, haha.
Cadet Happy.
He's a food dupe.
Seems like I'm missing someone Jewish. Oh yeah, and Lawrence Simon.
I kind of need to go to the bathroom.
Mr. F.
Welcome to Fun Facts About the 50 States. I'm your host, Harvey, and week by week I'll be taking you on a tour around this great nation of ours, providing you with interesting, yet completely useless and probably untrue, information about each of the 50 states. This week it's time to take a wrong turn at the Washington Monument and accidentally wind up in Maryland. So, let's get started. Maryland became the 7th state on April 28, 1788, after it finally agreed to stop trying to invade Delaware to steal its oil. The state flag of Maryland is best described as a Picasso painting of a checkerboard as interpreted by Andy Warhol while very drunk and standing on one leg. The highest point in Maryland is Backbone Mountain. It's 3,360 feet tall and has never been climbed by a Frenchman. The state motto of Maryland is, yep, pretty much just a suburb of D.C. Maryland's nickname of the Old Lion State is somewhat of a misnomer since most of its residents prefer to freebase their cocaine. The lowest point in Maryland is Bloody Point Hole at 174 feet below sea level. It used to be deeper, but Karl Rove's been, stifling a lot of dissent lately, if you know what I mean. Presidential assassin John Wilkes Booth was born in Bel Air, Maryland in 1838. Because of his high-profile crime, all U.S. theaters now have Marylander detectors at each entrance as a security precaution. Famous abolitionist Frederick Douglass was born in Tuckahoe, Maryland, which, and I can't emphasize this enough, starts with the letter T, so really watch that left index finger while you're typing. I'll be back with more fun facts after this.
Mr. F.
Well, folks, I've got to talk about the elephant in the room. It's all over the news. People are protesting and rioting. It's those cartoons. The Danish and Norwegian cartoons. And you know what? I agree with the protesters. These cartoons are awful, just awful. Ever since Dick Brown retired and passed the strip to his son Chris, it's just the same Viking jokes over and over and over and over. I mean, this one I'm looking at. It's Big Fat Hagar and that nerd Viking, whatever his name is. They're both tied to poles, and another guy is bringing in kindling to burn them at the stake. And they're encircled by an angry army. Oh, and the nerd Viking says, "I wish I wasn't so self-conscious. I hate being the center of attention." Oh, come on, that's just lame, folks. But so lame to be burning down buildings and boycotting tasty cheese and kidnapping people? I think not. I think that Chris Brown needs to issue an apology right now for these cartoons and cease making them immediately.
Mr. F.
And now, more fun facts about Maryland. Baseball Hall of Famer Babe Ruth grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, and developed his legendary slugging prowess by working as a kneecap breaker for local loan sharks. The United States Naval Academy was founded on October 10, 1845 at Annapolis, Maryland. Coincidentally, the United States Hooker Academy was founded across the street the next day. The first cathedral in the U.S. was built in Baltimore, Maryland in 1821, mostly to clear the streets of the numerous drunken Irishmen passed out in the gutters. Annapolis, Maryland once served as the capital of the U.S., but the Congressional Building was eventually moved to Washington, D.C. to make room for the United States Hooker Academy. The highest waterfall in Maryland is Muddy Creek Falls. At 63 feet tall, it's actually large enough for Michael Moore to fit underneath it, unless he's laying on his back. In 1790, Maryland rounded up all the lawyers in the state and threw them in a fetid swamp near the southern border of the state, now known as Washington, D.C. The first successful manned hot air balloon launch occurred in Baltimore, Maryland in 1784. The pilot, Edward Warren, reportedly described his trip as a great way to peek down the front of women's dresses. The state song of Maryland is, "Maybe we should have killed those lawyers before we threw them in that swamp." Well, that wraps up the Maryland edition of Fun Facts About the 50 States. Next week, I'll be swerving off a bridge with Ted Kennedy as I visit Massachusetts. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go take a hot air balloon ride.
Mr. F.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kay. I haven't quite figured out how to make the keyboard go into the computer and make pretty music. So, I'm going to sing a little song, a cappella, a song I like to call that song I wrote just now. Oh, the lips have gone unhinged. You can ask Michelle Malkin. Oh, the wackos on the fringe are writing all the talking
points.
The loony left is off their nut, and Jimmy Carter is a butt. Hillary thinks Bush is dumb and takes it out on chewing gum. Cindy Sheehan, she gets arrested, and Chucky Schumer is detested. Their craziness is unsurpassed, just like the I Am Mayo podcast.
Thank you very much. You can find more of my music elsewhere in this podcast and in other podcasts.
Mr. F.
This is World of Knowledge with your host, Frank J. On April 4th, 2004, Army Specialist Casey Sheehan volunteered to be part of a quick response team when rioting started in Baghdad. He was then killed by a rocket-propelled grenade, making the ultimate sacrifice while helping his fellow soldiers. But who cares about him? Today we have his mother, media whore Cindy Sheehan.
Hello.
Now, with the number of crazy but vastly underreported statements you've made, such as calling terrorists like those who killed your son freedom fighters and blaming the Jews for everything, one has to ask, was it the death of your son that made you this crazy, or were you this crazy all the time and his death just gave you media attention?
I have always been against Bush's illegal war, and I even told my son Casey after he re-enlisted that if he died in Iraq, I would make a complete mockery out of his sacrifice.
Okay. I'm going to run a few tests throughout this interview, if that's okay.
Will they be hard? There won't be any math, will there?
No, they'll be quite simple. First off, I want you to look at this ink blot and tell me what you see.
I see no weapons of mass destruction.
But what do you see? What does this image represent to you?
I see one of the great freedom fighters trying to fight the evil Americans, and he's dead in his own blood.
Fascinating. Now, back to the interview. Some say that many liberals have been using you as a media tool. Have you ever felt used by some fringe groups?
No, I've always been perfectly in charge.
Are you sure? I mean, not at one instance did you ever feel used?
Well, one time I was at a lunch and I was sitting next to Michael Moore, and I turned my head away, and when I looked back, my steak was gone.
I see. We'll be back with more of my interview with Cindy Sheehan in just a moment.
Mr. F.
This week on 24, Jack Bauer's whiny girlfriend decides she needs to talk about their relationship.
Don't worry, Mr. President. I'll save the world. Hello?
Jack,
I'm kind of busy saving the world right now. Can I call you back?
Jack, we need to talk about our relationship.
Fine, but I'm being attacked by terrorists right now. Can we do this later?
Of course, Jack. But first, I just wanted to tell you that I miss you right now.
That's great. I'll call you later.
Do you miss me, Jack? Because I think we had something real, you know, before you died.
Yes, I miss you. How about we meet for dinner tonight? Talk. Later.
I mean, before you faked your death and didn't even tell me you were alive. Did our love mean nothing to you?
Exactly. I hate you. I'll call you later.
Okay, Jack. I love you.
You won't want to miss it. Monday night on Fox.
Mr. F.
We're back with Cindy Sheehan. Okay, Cindy, now I'm going to say a series of words, and after each one, I want you to say the first thing that comes
to
mind.
Is this part of the test again?
Yes, it is, but don't worry, there are no wrong answers. Chair.
Illegal war.
Apple.
Immature patriots.
Sky.
Bush killed my son.
Michael Moore.
It's not so much a word coming to mind as a smell.
We'll move on then. Bush.
Lied.
People.
Died.
Fascinating. Now, Cindy, I hear you're going to run against Dianne Feinstein for her seat in the Senate. Why do you oppose her?
Because she's not against the war enough. The troops must be brought home now.
So what's your campaign slogan going to be?
My son died. Vote for me. And buy my book.
Okay, Cindy. You're in a desert, walking along in the sand.
Wait, is this the test again?
Yes. You're in a desert, walking along in the sand, when all of a sudden you look
down.
What
one?
What?
What desert? Is it one in Iraq?
Doesn't make any difference what desert. It's completely hypothetical.
But how come I'd be there?
Maybe you're fed up. Maybe you want to be by yourself. Who knows? Maybe you've come to join the insurgency. Look down, and you see a tortoise, Cindy, is crawling towards you.
Tortoise? What's that?
Know what a turtle is?
Of course.
Same thing. You reach down, you flip the tortoise over on his back, Cindy.
Do you make up these questions, Frank J., or is Carl Rove writing them down for you?
The tortoise lays on its back, its belly baking in the hot sun, beating its legs, trying to turn itself over. But it can't. Not without your help. But you're not helping.
What do you mean I'm not helping?
I mean you're not helping. Why is that, Cindy?
It's because of Bush! It's Bush and his illegal war! We have to save the tortoises! We must save them!
And that was Cindy Sheehan, everyone. Once again, this was World of Knowledge. And now, you're just a little bit smarter.
As an update, the interview was done before Cindy Sheehan announced that she wouldn't be running for Senate, which makes us very, very sad. Because that would have made for some good freaking comedy.
Mr. F.
I wanted to talk about these strange groups, these strange left-wing groups. But as I researched it, I've come to some very important decisions. Friends, in light of recent worldwide events, and after much soul-searching, I have decided to convert to the religion of peace. My name forevermore, or until tomorrow, shall be Mohammed El-Ducky. Why this conversion? It's not easy to explain. Sure, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, provided the ultimate self-sacrifice as an atonement for sin. But there's a lot to be said of a prophet that married toddlers and killed Jews. Plus, I'd get to destroy French property. Recent rioting, burning, and general screaming has led me to believe that the religion of peace has a lot to offer this world. And if we all converted, we could all sing and dance for joy. Just not in public, lest you face hanging. But is it right? Let's compare worldviews. Let's say a young lady, a virgin, was raped. St. Augustine had the nerve to say that she was still a virgin because she had no free will in the matter. The liberals are right behind that morally when they say that killing the baby would be just. But the religion of peace, and this is divine inspiration, would take the sweet young virgin who has undergone trauma and kill her. How dare she bring dishonor to her family? And that's why I am Mohammed El Ducky. I believe in family values. And killing Jews. Now, where is Lauren Simon?
Mr. F.
Hi there, I'm your friend, Lauren Simon. And it's time for a crappy bedtime story. Today's story is The Little Boy Who Didn't Cry Wolf.
Wait, that's not right.
Silence, bearded weirdo! I'm telling the story! Me! I'm wearing my storytelling pants. See? But when the story is about the little state who cried wolf like Delaware or Rhode Island, fine. You can open your yap and tell it. But this is my time. Okay? Please? Pretty please?
You're off your meds again, aren't you?
No, I've been taking them pretty regularly. Of course, they're for cholesterol, so...
Enough talky talk. More story.
Hey!
Sorry, Dougie.
Oh, right, the story. Oh, sorry. Ready? Here we go. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who was entrusted with watching over the town sheep to protect them from wolves. Why'd they have a little boy do that? I don't know why. All I know is that the shepherd liked sheep and little boys. Anyway, he got bored, so he started setting fires around town. Oh, you'd think he'd cry wolf to get attention. Well, his brother tried that, and all the flock got eaten up, and they told the little boy not to cry wolf, for, well, you remember that thing about the shepherd, the little boys and sheep? Yeah, that. So, that's a pretty big motivation for the little boy not to cry wolf. But he did set the fires in the town. It burned down. Oh, and then the wolves ate the sheep. The end. This has been a crappy bedtime story from your friend, Lauren Simon. Now, go to Virginia.
Hey.
Oh, sorry, Harvey. Bed. Go to bed. And then go to Virginia. I hear it's nice this time of year.
Mr. F.
This is Frank J. here to warn you about those left-wing nuts on the internet. First, you have those people at the Daily Kos or Daily Kos or how you pronounce it, it comes up the same. Complete and total nuts. Then there's the Democratic Underground, where I assure you you'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. These people, they live in their isolation of their Bush hatred. It no longer has rhyme or reason. They want to stop Bush and advance their ideology, but they don't realize they've lost their purpose. They no longer have an ideology except to be against things. It's sad, but fascinating. I mean, it's like some strange psychology experiment out there on the internet for everyone to watch. A bunch of monkeys in a cage, flinging poo at imagined demons. Scary? A little bit. Many of them think Bush either caused or let 9/11 to happen, but you get the feeling they'd let another 9/11 happen if it would cause Bush's poll ratings to drop 5%. So what to do with them? Well, I suggest point and laugh. Maybe if you laugh loud enough, they'll eventually know that they are being laughed at, instead of sitting there enamored in their own self-importance, shaking their tiny fists in impotent rage, until it's so sad that even we can't find humor in it anymore. So help your fellow moonbat, and laugh at them now before it's too late.
Mr. F.
Reviews are on fire with Sarah K. Werewolves and vampires is our topic today. Yeehaw!
Hi, I'm Sarah K., and reviews are fun.
Today we're going to talk about the movie Underworld Evolution, starring, I don't know, who cares, some people. It's not the actors that make the movie great anyway, it's the plot and the screenplay. So the movie's about vampires and werewolves and these hybrid things that they don't really call anything, but I would call them like vamwolves or werepires or freaky weird scary things. Now, this movie is like the best movie ever that has vampires and werewolves and freaky weird scary things where they're fighting each other wearing leather. Now, this movie is so good that they didn't even need to screen it for critics because they didn't need the extra publicity. Plus, the critics like movies like Brokeback Mountain, which is like totally gay. And this is a movie about heterosexual vampires and werewolves and freaky weird scary things. So who cares what the critics think? All right, so let's start off with a clip from the movie, Underworld Evolution.
Blah, I'm a vampire. I'm going to suck your blood. Blah.
And I'm a werewolf. I'm going to bite. Claw you.
And I'm part vampire and part werewolf. I don't know what I do. It's crazy.
That wasn't a clip from the movie.
Sorry, sweetie. I don't know anything about getting clips from movies for reviews. Once I called the studio, as soon as I said podcast, they just hung up on me.
All right, so here's the plot. The very first vampire ever and the very first werewolf ever are brothers. And the vampire has just come out of hibernation because he's been asleep for like 1,000 years because they're very lazy vampires. And he's going to find his brother, the werewolf, who has been imprisoned. Now, Celine is the only one who knows where the prison is because her dad built it. Now, she's not really that old a vampire. She's only like 300 or 400 years old. Or maybe she's more, but anyway, she's not as old as this sleepy guy. And so the vampire is after her. And he starts coming after her and her freaky, weird, scary thing hybrid boyfriend. And, I mean, once he does, it's on. And she's like putting on the leather and having sex with the freaky, weird, scary thing so they can make babies or something. Or maybe just because they want to have sex. And they are trying to keep, what's-his-face, Marcus, I think is his name, from getting to his brother. Oh, and the vampire is trying to get her blood memories from her. And if you could have seen my fingers, they were totally doing the quotes motion just then. And so apparently our blood has memories, and he was trying to get hers out of her so he could find out where the prison was too. I know, totally insane. And he does get it out of her, which means that there's like this huge fight scene at the prison with a helicopter crash, and it's all in the ice, and it is so bad. Oh, and I won't tell you, I don't want to spoil it, so I won't tell you what happens to her freaky, weird, scary thing hybrid boyfriend that she made a baby with, or I don't really know if they made babies, but they had sex. And I'm pretty sure that's where babies come from. Oh, and she's got really cool guns. And I don't mean like breasts. I mean, you know, handguns.
It also has a fight with naked vampire whores. You know, that's kind of a cliche in movie these days.
You aren't supposed to be looking at the vampire whores.
I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, I thought the movie was awesome. So like on a scale of 1 to 10, with A being the best movie ever and F being avoid this movie at all costs, like The Thin Red Line or Eye of the Beholder or Brokeback Monkey, whatever it is. I give the movie a thumbs up. And I don't care what those critics on Rotten Tomatoes say. They weren't supposed to see it anyway. So just ignore them and listen to me and go see the movie. Vampires and werewolves and freaky, weird, scary things. Yeehaw!
Mr. F.
Hi, this is Harvey. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how easily offended leftist moonbats are. For example, the following comments about the Super Bowl were taken directly from the Democratic Underground site. Or they might have been completely made up by me. It's hard to tell. Did you notice that at the beginning of the game when they introduced MVPs from past Super Bowls, they skipped the ones that were dead? You know why? Because the dead tend to vote Democrat. That's why. Did you see that interference call in the end zone? That wasn't interference. Interference is when George Bush invades another country and steals its oil. Why didn't they call that? During the halftime show, the Rolling Stones set off fireworks. Now everyone at Ford Field will get cancer from secondhand smoke. Sure, they announced that the Superdome will be reopening, but they've refused to call it by its proper name, the Ray Nagin International House of Chocolate. Racists. Why isn't the Vince Lombardi Trophy made out of 100% recycled materials? Don't they care about our planet's delicate ecosystem? God bless the Super Bowl, making hippies cry since 1966.
Mr. F.
And now, sage advice from famed samurai Miyamoto Musashi.
Remember, every month, put orange peel Down garbage disposal. He's menace. A disgusting garbage disposal. Is that it? Is honorable.
Tune in next week for more sage advice from Miyamoto Musashi.
Hey!
Mr. F.
Thanks for listening to our IMAO podcast about... Well, I don't know what the hell it was about.
Don't say hell.
Anyways.
Be honorable. Running!